Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready?
Go. Hello and welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself all the game too seriously, but we will be taking it very seriously today because this is not a World Cup podcast. This is, well, something that we do and no one else does really, which is when the World Cup is going on, we're going to talk about issues that might otherwise go underneath the radar, and I think that I've found one. But before we get into that, hello Phil, how are you?
Hello JB, I'm actually very, very tired. I feel a little bit spaced out.
I feel exactly. I am really struggling right now, but it's important that we do this.
Well, you're struggling because you've trained twice today.
I have trained twice and I've worked. And
I'm struggling because I've also trained twice, including doing a flat out mile.
I tell you what,
this evening,
rather have done my sessions than your sessions. That is brutal.
The flat out mile was hard.
I've done that track session and it's horrible.
Hard going, but other than that, I feel okay. But for someone who has not trained twice today, but is no doubt exhausted from his overindulgence over the weekend in a shipping container somewhere in the south of France, it's Tim Cocker.
I am exhausted. That is absolutely true. I'm just having a beer and I'm cutting myself a bit of rock for to put on a bit of baguette. So the opposite of training.
Oh my God, it's stressing me out. So how?
Amazing.
We've doubled down on our training. Have you doubled down on your eating?
No, I have not eaten very much the last 2 days. I've been so non-stop that I didn't have breakfast or lunch. I've basically accidentally been doing intermittent fasting and having one massive meal in the evening when everything's done.
People talk, particularly international folk, about how bad English food is. And maybe they've got a point, maybe they haven't. I don't know. But I can't imagine how hard dieting must be in France.
Oh, the abundance of just high quality, delicious food.
I've just got some roquefort, I'm going to throw on some bread. Oh my God. I mean, I want it. I want it desperately, but it also stresses me out. It really stresses me out.
There is also something comforting about bread that goes rock hard in about 14 hours. Like the lack of additives and crap that's in the food. It's at least pure, a lot of it.
I don't know. Give me those additives all day long.
I am with you, Tim. It's like the Subway bread.
Yes.
That you can just leave out for 6 months and it's absolutely fine.
So I bought a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
I bought a loaf of bread the other day from my local cheese shop. I was going to call it the Cheese Hamlet. Or is that? No, that's in Didsbury.
Mm.
So what's the one in Chorlton? Anyway, there's a cheese shop in Chorlton. And they sold me some bread. I didn't even look at the price. It's like £5 and it goes off after a day. Like your only option is to ingest 2,000 calories worth of bread. And you can't have it on its own, can you? You've got to have butter. So round that up to 3,000. 3,000 calories.
The following day, you can, not like what the French and Italians and Greeks and stuff do, is they
make breadcrumbs.
That stale bread, they put that in the, like you, yeah, use it as basically a rusk in a salad.
Yes, that is true. Well, you're meant to freeze it, aren't you? And then you can make them. Anyway, that's not why we're here.
It's not. So, JB, tell us why we are here.
Yeah. So, I heard an interesting tidbit the other day. And this interesting tidbit I kind of followed up. And I think I'm onto something. In fact, I think I'm onto a really interesting story.
Mm.
So, as you're aware, the RFU pay PRL, Premier Rugby Limited, an amount of money for the agreement to basically release the international players to England. Okay? Now, Let me pose a question for you. If, for example, you were a major union and you were to pay a league which produces your players for you, and that league had gone down from, what, 13 teams to 10 teams?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, you don't really need the players anytime soon because, well, you're playing a World Cup. Now, if that hypothetically was your situation, I'm not saying it is the situation, but hypothetically that did occur, would you be paying more or less in your agreement? What would you be doing?
The total would probably go down.
Interesting.
Because there are fewer teams.
Tim, you're a logical kind of guy. What would you do?
Well, Phil would actually be the one that can work out the percentage of what 10 is from 13. But whatever that would be logical. Maybe adjusted for inflation, it might end up being about the same.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a fair point, Tim.
That's a very fair point. But also, there is another dynamic here, which is the league is, or certainly the clubs, the teams in the league are not making much money, hence why three of them have gone bump.
Yep.
And there is pretty considerable player drain to another top league. The top 14,
yep,
just across the water. So from that side of things, you might be saying, well, if the RFU have the money, which is a third question that I guess we kind of do know the answer to, and they don't really.
They definitely do not have the money.
But they might have to find the money from somewhere in order to shore up these clubs. Otherwise, the clubs will underperform and more of them will fail, which will damage the product even further and lead to even more player drain, including potentially even more talented ones.
Yeah. Well, the answer is the RFU are going to increase the amount that they pay PRL from 28 million to 34 million.
Interesting.
Which now, is, go on, please.
The 28 million.
Yep.
So this is all part of the professional game agreement.
Yep.
Which the current one runs from 2016 through to 2024. So ends this year. It was an 8-year agreement.
That's right.
The first 4 years of that 8-year agreement was at, it was 112 million across 4 years, which evenly split is £28 million per year. Mm-hmm. They've not actually announced, I've looked this up, I can't find anywhere what the second 4 years of payments was. I can confirm, I've read it somewhere, that it was linked to the RFU's financial performance. So I suspect that the payments have been lower than the 28 million for the the whole of the last 4 years will be lower, basically post-COVID, because RFU funds are lower.
Yeah, well, this is exactly the question which was posed to me by the person who told me this thing. I said, why would you do that? This is negligence.
Why would you increase the funds?
Yeah, why would you increase these funds when you don't need to? Because it's negligent.
Well, yeah, but do you need to? Because if more teams go bump, that's a bad thing. And if more players, more English qualified players in their prime leave, that's also a bad thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I came down to. I was like, well, it's not simply a case of saying, look, we are the RFU and we just refuse to pay you. It's a case of actually, we are the RFU and my God, we need some players. Yeah, and the people in the higher positions in the RFU, I don't think they can stomach. I mean, a 10-team league is like an accidentally good outcome.
Yes.
Right? A 9-team league is an absolute monumental disaster.
They can't. Well, they can't let another club fail.
No,
they just can't happen.
Well,
the out would be if one more club fails. The out is Ealing's got to jump up.
Yeah,
but they have to rip up their rules to allow Ealing to jump up.
Yeah, it's the whole.
But it's still a disaster.
I said maybe earlier on this year, rugby has got 5 years left in its current form. I don't think the game will exist at all, really, in 5 years' time. It's certainly not the professional game. And I think this is just one step prior to the ultimate death spiral. So you mentioned it, Phil. The reason that they're doing this is because the England players at the moment are very much of the opinion of, yeah, pick me if you want, that'd be really cool. But if you don't, I'll go to La Rochelle for 400k. I'll go to Lyon for 400k. And like everyone says, well, you know, there is an agreement in France and they can't take them all. No, but they'll take the best ones.
The best ones would definitely go. Like, the top talent, there is only a very small supply of the top talent.
Yeah. And if these players start... So the next question is like, what is the RFU going to ask for in return? And this is eerily close, well, if it happens, of course. This is eerily close to what I was predicting, which is you're going to have to pay more money for your top talent to play less. So if you're Saracens, you've got Owen Farrell on your books. Saracens are an amazing organisation, but they can't afford to let Owen Farrell go. And the only way they can really keep him is to pay him a lot more money. It's just not, more to the point, it's not fair to ask him to stay if you're not going to commit to him. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to give him, you've got to give Mario, you've got to give these boys the cash, because you can't just say, yeah, you're amazing players, please don't go and get that £600,000. Owen Farrell would get £600,000. He'd probably get more than that in France.
He'd get a mega deal in France because he's so well suited to the French style of game as well.
Yeah, like just a mega, mega deal. So England will cough up. But what England will demand instead is like, okay, we've coughed up, but you must give him to us on these certain dates. And it's going to be a bigger agreement. So what will happen is, you know, the kids who go to watch Saracens will see their favourite stars less. And the thing which no one will report is, where is the money coming from? And it has to come from somewhere, and it'll come from the community game.
Well, yeah, which is because the RFU is not flush with cash. Therefore, they've got to spend more in one area, they've got to cut in another area.
Yeah.
The interesting thing will be whether they do some kind of enhancement deal, so more money, the clubs can spend more money, i.e. the... either additional England credits, this goes into further England credits to bump up the salary cap through that mechanism, or just raise the salary cap, which is discussed for next season, going back up, isn't it?
I mean, this all sort of feeds back into the death spiral
of
the game, doesn't it? So there was some talk a few years ago, and Tim, just feel free to jump in with anything you want to add. But there was some talk a few years ago, like, oh, well, it's okay, the international game will bail us out, or the unions will bail us out. Certainly, like, the Welsh position is, they're just waiting for the WRU to pay for everything. Mm. And in England, they're waiting for the RFU to pay for everything. What they forget is the economic draw of that French league is going to get to such a powerful point that the unions will be helpless to stop it. Yeah, and I wonder if we're past that tipping point now. Because for the RFU to step in now, it's not going to break them this time round. But I suspect it'll break them next time round. Because to keep their best players, you're going to be paying a disproportionate amount of your salary cap to these guys who you're not going to see. You're going to exacerbate the loss of the middle-tier players, and your product's going to get worse and worse and worse. This is the beginning of the end, I'm certain of it. And you're not going to have enough money in the coffers to produce the talent across the rest of England in order to replace it.
So the key is a strong premiership, because that means growing revenues, commercial and television revenues. So you've got, this is, I think you hinted or said it on the end of the last podcast, this is a gamble. Because
yes,
this is a gamble, if this is what's happening, it's a gamble to strengthen the league by RFU over... stretching themselves or cutting money from elsewhere, whichever way round they square that circle. They either cut services elsewhere or they kind of take on loans and financing to do it, to put in money to strengthen the product of the Premiership, hoping it leads to more crowd and TV money. Therefore, they've got more power themselves. But that's a gamble.
Yeah, let's just talk about the gambling element of this. So I was going to take this conversation elsewhere, but we'll just go with the gambling element. Everything Bill Sweeney has done is a gamble. Like, the guy is a pathological gambler. Now, that might sound a bit harsh, but just, you know, how would you define a gamble? A gamble is like, well, we know there's negative consequences now, i.e. spending the money.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. In fact, looking at it right now, it looks more than likely that we're going to be throwing good money after bad. I mean, it looks almost certain that's what they're going to be doing. So he gambled getting Borthwick in. That might work, it might not, but you know, most people would say sacking your coach so close to the World Cup is indeed a gamble. He's gambled with the CVC deal.
That is definitely a gamble. The Eddie Jones thing.
He's gambled with the CVC deal.
Along with, it's not Bill Sweeney on his own, but that's...
Well, there's two CVC deals, isn't there? Well, there's the RFU one.
And there's the Premiership Rugby. The
Premiership one.
Neither of which, because the RFU one is a Six Nations one.
Yes.
That was not the RFU on their own. Neither of them is Bill Sweeney in isolation.
No, but you know, it just builds to that narrative, doesn't it? You know, he's already got this track record. And again, you know, on paper, what is the CVC deal? It's like, let's give away our money, but let's hope something changes. We don't know what the something will be, but we hope to God something changes between now and giving away that money. We hope that we make so much money somehow without this plan that it will dwarf the amount of money that we've given away.
But the hope,
that's basically it, isn't it?
The hope is that CVC were competent, credible individuals who could actually grow the pie. So you've got a slightly smaller slice of a much bigger pie. It's just proven to be.
I love this story so much.
So wrong.
I mean, how did three guys in a basement know that this was wrong? How did we know it was wrong? How did these?
In fairness, you were the one who called it wrong. I was optimistic that someone would have done the due diligence to say, "Oh yeah, CVC, they've got some good guys. They can grow this commercial entity."
Well,
nope.
This is the thing with Bill Sweeney. It is the next job that he's interested in, not this one. He's going to become the most important guy in rugby, English rugby. Well, he already is, but because he's effectively the canary now. When that man leaves, that means that I think that England are on the precipice of something disastrous, because he wants to leave saying he's got an agreement with the clubs, the women's game is thriving, and something else, because he's good at spinning those stories.
DEI. Massively.
Yeah, yeah, a huge DEI drive. Well done, Bill. Great. And he'll go. And every single policy that he's instituting at the moment is just kicking the can for his predecessor to pick up. Sorry, predecessor. His replacement to pick up. I mean, that is it over and over again. There is a fourth one, which I can't quite remember. But, you know, you look at rugby's overall health. The other CVC deal, the Premier Rugby deal, kind of makes everything unviable anyway. You pointed out that maybe we get around this by just allowing the teams to spend more. But if the owners don't want to spend more...
Yeah, that is if they've... And it's easy to say that, but almost all the teams are losing money.
Yeah.
So you've got to have generous owners, owners with deep pockets and who are willing to throw away money for a uncertain return.
Back in the day, you could get an owner in, right? You could get an owner in and they would say, okay, I'll give this a fair shot. I've built loads of businesses. I'm wealthy enough to do it. I will gamble, right, that I can make this work. But now that CVC deal means there is no gamble. It's a guaranteed way to lose money. So you raise a salary cap, you're just going to have to find someone who wants to lose money year after year, because the central revenue is shot, it's gone. Right, that's why no one bought London Irish, no one bought Wasps, no one bought Worcester. First time in rugby's history, anything like that has happened. Why do people not want these clubs? Because what the CVC deal does is it just poison pills all the rugby clubs in the league for future owners. It just allows the current unsustainable owners to be there for a year or two longer. So we're going to get no outside investment from so-called private entities, and then of course there is the RFU. Like, this is the ultimate gamble, Because once that money has got, and by the way, what is he spending? That's the other question. What is this money he's spending? I'll tell you what it is. It's just redeployment of capital. He's not spending income. He's not spending revenues that the game is generating. He's got a pot of money, again, CVC money, and it's that capital that he's spending on the Premiership clubs, which will then be spent on like running costs, effectively, and salaries. It is an utter recipe for disaster.
It's not looking good.
It's not.
Regardless, it's not looking good anyway, but this doesn't look particularly good.
No, you combine it with the Francis Barron report and all of a sudden...
There is something to add to this as well, which is, do you remember on a Patreon pod that we did maybe 3 months ago, just after the season, and I read an article in the Ruby paper which mentioned, and I don't think, I'm certain I've not seen this elsewhere before or since, that there was a board, there was a vote of no confidence in the RFU board.
I can explain this.
And that has just gone totally silent. It was silent, but it's not gone silent. It has always been totally silent.
Yeah, it was misreporting, unfortunately.
Was it?
Yeah, so it was something like, it was a disagreement about who should run the review of the RFU. The RFU wanted to get someone external to do it, and the council wanted to do it internally. And as such, it was construed that that was a vote of no confidence, but that didn't actually happen. It was just a difference of opinion as to who should conduct the review of governance of the RFU.
So that perhaps makes sense why it wasn't reported in anywhere apart from one place.
Yes, exactly right, because that's some big news.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to say. So one of the reasons I think this is right, okay, is Bill Sweeney does not give interviews to the press. He phones podcasters occasionally, and he tries to get them on side with often disastrous consequences. But he doesn't talk to the press, right? He thinks he's above scrutiny, and he tends to keep his thoughts to himself. Now, he has agreed to do a press conference in Nice, I think. Lyon or Nice, one of the two. It's the first time he'll be speaking to the written press for a long, long time. And I suspect that this deal will be done before that because he'll want to show up to that conference with something to show for his efforts.
With good news.
Yeah. And so I think that's why this is important, because people need to be furnished with the information to ask the correct questions. Mm. Where's the money coming from, Bill? When do you expect to see this money return?
What's the timescales on the positive aspects that you're anticipating to get out of this investment, but it's not an investment.
Yeah. It's so awful to say this. It makes me really sad. I mean, like, legitimately sad. I don't see a way out of where rugby is in England. I mean, I think if you're a rugby fan, the only thing you can do logically, and I'm not saying this in a joke or in any way at all, start watching the top 14. If you really want to continue to enjoy this game, you can't watch your club, because it's just going to slowly crumble. As the crowds dry up, because the player pool has dried up, because you won't see your internationals, because they ruined the calendar. You've got all these various things working against England now. I just don't see how it. I don't see how it recovers. It can't be central funding from the RFU because they've got their money. It can't be the owners because they're tied to the CVC deal. It can't be new owners because of the effect of the CVC deal. And I don't see any evidence that crowds are flocking to rugby or there's going to be any more TV money coming. So what? How?
Well, the more TV money, whatever TV money there is spread across fewer teams, which is positive. But there's also fewer games.
Yeah.
So it'll be less money across fewer teams, so it might work out about the same per club.
The only out for clubs, the only out for them, is more attendance. Localised revenue.
But
it's not going to happen.
Certainly good, well-run clubs, they get close to capacity anyway. So the only way to square that is by jacking the prices up. But you'd be jacking the prices up for a arguably lesser product, because there's stars drifting out of the the English game.
And that's it, isn't it? So Leicester Tigers have sold a load of season tickets again this year.
Which is great news, because 5 years ago, when they were in a bad period, Welford Road was half empty, which is just something you never saw previously. No. So it's great to see Welford Road back up and full.
Yeah, the only way forward for the clubs is to get localised revenue from crowds, and well, I wish they could do that, but they can't.
No, it's certainly not going to solve all of their problems.
No. So anyway, watch out for Bill Sweeney giving his interview. You heard it here first. I think that there'll be this announcement to go with it. I think we need to be asking him the right questions, and he needs to go, frankly. But the thing is, I don't even know how you replace him, because I think the damage has been so severe, and all the poison pills have already been seeded. All the gambles have been made. Whoever picks up this job in the RFU next, we should always remember what Bill Sweeney did to the game, whether it be the high tackle stuff, the CVC stuff, the coaching stuff, this latest player agreement, whatever it may be. You know, just the holes in the finance, the mess they made of. I mean, one of the most callous things that I've heard out of them was a presentation. I think Sweeney was on the call and somebody else as well. Regarding, is it the West Stand? I always get that mixed up.
The stand that they refurbed 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, they blamed Grenfell on the increase in costs. Now, I know I've brought this up on the podcast before. Grenfell was obviously a disaster, obviously for the people that lost their lives, but also, you know, it had an impact on the building industry.
It did.
It did not have the impact that Bill Sweeney says, right, on his stand. And not only did it not have the impact, to use the loss of life as an excuse for your incompetence is probably the most sinister thing that I've ever heard. Like, that goes beyond rugby. That goes beyond the high tackles. It goes beyond just basic decency and ethics.
I know, I've not seen that.
It did it on a conference call to one of the CCBs.
But it does sound pretty cynical. Because, yes, there is complication and significant impact of Grenfell on construction fire safety, but I can't remember the exact figures. That stadium was something like 60% over budget. It's very well hidden. I've looked into it a while ago. It's very well hidden. I find it hard to believe that that is the primary cause.
I find it hard to believe as well. And even if it was a primary cause, I think it's incredibly unsavoury to say, well, sorry guys, it's Grenfell.
Do you not fancy the job, JB?
There are two men that can save rugby. One of them is me, and Dana White is busy. So,
would you fancy £668,000 per year?
£700.
Well, this
you got
is
a pay rise.
This is in the latest reports and accounts 2022. So I'm sure it's probably £800 by now. Actually,
yeah, he's got a substantial pay rise. It's incredible. I mean, this, you know, this is why he is the canary in the coal mine. He wants to keep this job. He wants to feather his nest. He's going to walk away with some thing. You know, as the game burns, he can say, yeah, the women's game is thriving. Whether it is or not, I don't actually know. And that's pretty much the only thing he can say. But, of course, everything he does is just a redeployment of capital. It's not really thriving in the sense that, like, it's making its own money and it's sustainable. I mean, if it's sustainable on its own 2 feet, the women should have their own union. But it's not. It's just parasitically taking away from the rest of the game. And maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe that's how we redress the balance for not enough women playing. But it is not true to say the women's game is thriving, because it's thriving at the expense of something else.
Tim Cocker, are you enjoying your beer and your Roquefort?
I think he's gone.
We've poured Tim to death. He's never normally this quiet.
No, he's not, is he? I wonder what happened. I wonder if I should just check my phone, see if he's...
He's probably...
I hope he's not been attacked or something.
Apologies, phone shut down due to a system update. fantastic.
Watch it. Well, I think we've done enough for this. So, yeah, that's my update for the RFU. Watch out for Bill Sweeney's interview. I'm pretty sure that I'm on something here.
I will watch with bated, or wait with bated breath.
Excellent. Right, so from me and Phil, not Tim because he's lazy and unprofessional, we will see you on Friday morning?
Friday morning?
Saturday morning?
Maybe. Maybe Saturday morning. Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
Fantastic.
And then maybe one on Monday as well.
Right, so enjoy your week.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.